That was fucked up.
All right. All right. I wish you were back with your beanie babies.
Oh. Oh. Did you pee your pants? Yeah. He peed his pants. And I suppose
we're starting this off in a very interesting way.
Oh, someone shit.
This cheesecake was...
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
Fraught.
So we were going to record, like, I don't know, 30 minutes ago. But then Erica, she wouldn't work unless she had cheesecake. So she fucking demanded some cheesecake. So we ordered some. And then I don't know, whoever, I don't know if it was fucking Jorge ordered it to the wrong address or some shit. Or you told Jorge the wrong
address. You told me the wrong address. Like, address or I punched in the wrong address. Let's just split the difference and not worry about it. Because we went there and got the cheesecake.
He got delivered like 10, 15 blocks away.
Oh, boy.
And then, so... Jorge and Martin went and got it.
We were ready they for secured, fisticuffs.
Secured the cheesecake. So now we got cheesecake. So we might.
Well, the address was 10 minutes away. We got there in 7. This was like a Tom Cruise movie for the sweets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well.
It felt like an hour.
He just commando rolled outside of the vehicle. Like, I didn't even stop.
So
it was just sitting on the doorstep because I thought y'all could catch some heat. Because if someone just delivered some cheesecake to my house.
And then you're taking it?
I'd have been like, okay, shit. I mean, what are you supposed to do? What do you know? Like, seriously, it's
tell them my trick.
I took a photo of it.
I like grabbed it and I took a photo, like, because there's something legit happening. Because
technically,
here.
You stole it because you had it delivered to the wrong address. And you went up and fucking took it from that address and got in your car.
Well,
yeah, you're going to be on like some Ring cameras and they're going to be like, oh,
this is how people are going to
be on
shot.
Some fucking. Yeah. Stay at home mom Facebook groups. Yeah, they're like, we saw this man.
Well, and good thing
Ernest
is
getaway driver Martin.
And the weird part is he's dressed like that neighborhood watch, like silhouette. Like he's wearing a trench coat.
And that, a lot of shadows around my face.
Yeah. Anyway, wow. I'm really happy that you got the cake.
Are we gonna? Yeah, we're gonna crack this shit open.
Yeah. Let's do it.
You said I'm dressed like McGruff right now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you just said.
I was going to probably like hurt someone physically if I didn't have it. Just the thought of it. You got me all...
But let me ask you something. What if you got...
Excited about it.
What if you got cheesecake delivered to your house? Like someone knocked on your door and you went and like they were gone. So you couldn't be like, I didn't get it. Like you couldn't be like, sir, what the fuck is this? Because that's happened to me. But like you didn't catch them. So you're like, okay. Sitting there, it was there for a little while.
It was,
It was there for a little while. So,
well, God bless them.
It's like finding
the
kitten. Like once you bring it inside, I think it's yours.
I was telling Martin when we saw it still there. I'm like, oh, you know, it gives me hope that people aren't home all the time. You thought I was gonna say something inspiring, but
no.
If someone sees cheesecake, they're eating cheesecake. I don't blame them. They're not a bad person.
I would be like,
I fucked up.
But I would be like, oh, someone likes me. Oh, my God. That I would have been like, oh, man, someone really looking out for me.
You'd feel
like,
loved, right? Three slices of cheesecake to your door.
I'd be texting my friends. Be like, yo, did you really? Like, that's crazy. Wow, how nice.
What a beautiful thing to do to just send someone cheesecake for no reason.
Let's start this. This podcast is going to spark a trend of just sending sweets. Erica, you mentioned that you grew up eating cheesecakes.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Were you a...
You're just into them as a kid? You just called the shots in your house?
Well, my pops used to work literally at a cheesecake factory where he would make cheesecakes.
The chain restaurant?
But not the cheesecake.
Unrelated.
Like an actual factory of cheesecakes.
And it was really hot in the summer and probably still hot in the winter. And damn, I really don't know how he was able to do that for so many years.
But then he brought home some cheesecakes?
Yeah, but he brought home the cheesecakes, and we had them as snacks, although I never figured out that they were supposed to be thawed. And so I would just, like, gnaw on them like a little rat, you know, and my teeth would hurt.
You're frozen?
Mm-hmm.
Your story of growing up in poverty is falling apart. Because, like, you're like, I was raised on cheesecake.
Yeah, the frozen.
Cheesecake Kingdom. You were.
I mean, cheesecake is cheesecake. I don't know.
Princess of the Cheesecake Kingdom?
Yeah.
Damn. Sounds pretty rich and lavish to me.
Anytime I wanted a snack, I'd just eat some frozen cheesecake.
Yeah. I was rich.
Sometimes the masseuse at home would, like, put a little bit too much pressure. it's rough times.
You know, I give my baby a little back massage every night. I'm like, damn, man, that's the life. every night.
Luxurious.
It is.
It is.
It is.
That kid's going to grow up soft, though.
This is the actual one.
Okay. This is...
Yo, Jorge, you exciting. Sound disgusting, by the way. I just want to let you know, like, I hear you.
I can't stop.
And smacking his lip.
Throw me a fork, man. Y'all are jumping in. I got to have a little nibble of this thing.
You're going to have to edit the shit out of this.
Yeah, this is the worst segment.
Mouth noises? I think the listeners love mouth noises. Last time when I was eating Cheetos, I'm sure that went over really well.
Those are highest rated show.
Oh, this is good.
What's a Mexican food that you don't like?
I'm not going to say shit.
I'm getting
hate mail.
I got a few.
That brick cheese, that's very popular. That's like...
Which one?
People bring back in suitcases.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The stinky one.
Stinky. Menonita. Big brick. It looks like...
Those are drugs.
It's like a brick of drugs.
Yeah.
It has a label on it that you can't take off.
I love it.
It's honestly. Very fucking
What do you mean
stinky.
On it? Like on the cheese? Like you eat the
you
label?
You got to scrape it
Yeah,
off.
You got to scrape a label off. It's a very hard it's a brick cheese? Of cheese.
It's mm-hmm. good.
No, the other one that it's smells like feet?
Yep. Yeah.
It's you
yeah.
Like, yeah. When you put it... When you like... Parmesan, like a hard ass Parmesan,
like, mm-hmm. like the crust, you know, that big thick, yeah, like waxy crust.
But it melts.
No,
what you know, like what in a quesadilla. No.
They just put it in a tortilla, and it's the saddest imported thing that I've ever seen.
I asked my dad to bring me some, so
it's weird that it hasn't caught on. Cheese? Like, because no. it's like I gotta say, in Chicago, it's really hard to find Mexican food, so that's a really hard item to find, I'm sure.
Well,
right?
it
that one is it's kind of regional, right?
I mm-hmm. nobody got, I never even heard that shit. Mm-hmm. There's Mexican food on every corner here.
All right.
No, they don't. They wouldn't sell it because it's an acquired taste. It's like, you know. I don't know.
Menudo.
Menudo.
Sweet
yeah.
tamales.
I hate.
Keep fucking raisins out of my food. Menudo. Just keep
menudo
fucking.
Grew on me though, but it is. I oh. see why people don't like it. It's the gelatinous. Texture.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You're giving me like a wavy meat. I don't need that.
A wavy, slippery meat.
Yeah.
You know, I have like a soft spot for it because in Mexico my family makes it, and so. You know, I eat it with that in mind, and sometimes the texture is pretty foul, but I just try to go get through it, and I like the corn.
I have to say, it's crazy. It's like a hangover cure-all. It's the panacea for hangovers, but, like, that's a gross thing to eat on a hangover. Like a slippery, spicy meat. The spicy meat
sweat.
Sounds cool, but the slippery, gelatinous...
Yeah. You know what'll keep you from ever like eating it?
What?
Is watching the process.
Oh, the cleaning? Oh yeah. Oh,
so it's just intestines?
Yeah.
So it's like Mexican chitlins in.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Stomach? Yeah. I think it's buns. No.
Mexican chitlins.
Yeah, it should be.
Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to sell that, put it on the menu, just call it Mexican chitlins. We'll be like, oh, okay, I understand. And then I still won't order it.
When our friends
absolutely not. Yeah, I'll be like, I'll know to steer clear.
When our restaurant franchise moves to Atlanta, right, he's going to be like, I didn't say it would sell. Yeah. I just told you how to word it.
You could do it. That, if you don't want a motherfucker to understand shit you're selling, that's what I would do.
Yeah, to have any chance.
I like this. I feel like can I say something? Just that, you know, it might not be popular amongst the group, but I feel like I've won. I have you guys hating on Mexican food, so I feel like I've done my job.
Oh, shit.
No, like just stinky cheese. No, we have, and
these are reasonable hilarious. Opinions formed throughout a lifetime of, you know, appreciating Mexican food. Yours are just whimsical racist. Hatred. That's what yours were.
Yeah, I like the whimsical part. I'll agree with that.
You like, this is our culture. It does like a pirouette. That's what I
kind of which I found strange.
I'm bringing the motherfucking whimsy. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
This motherfucker just cartwheel.
Yeah, everyone always describes me as whimsical. Yeah. Like, you know,
Doc, you know, did you just somersault into the room?
Oh, what a whimsical ass motherfucker. Oh, shit.
You're full of it. Just full of whimsy.
That's right.
And bad opinions.
No.
Did you know that
Better
we
bread.
Are approaching our year anniversary? Don't ask me the exact date because I forgot, but it's June.
Yeah, we don't really? Know the year. We don't know the exact date.
Yeah. You won't
know. Well, I mean, if we look at when we published
let's
the
look
episode.
At the first episode no. date.
No, I refuse.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, all right. I just think...
I have to scroll too much. No, thanks.
It should be acknowledged, I think... It's been pretty cool so far.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean,
that's what the reviews say. They say it's been pretty cool so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm talking about for us. I don't, you know, for the people, I assume it's been fucking amazing.
And we just do this, and we're like, we altering. Hope so. Yeah,
yeah. Like, their lives haven't been the same.
I don't. No one's wrote a review or anything, but I imagine it's orgasmic for them, which is what you know.
There was that episode where we were wondering if people had this on during you know the act because the phone was too far. I believe
you were wondering because you're a pervert.
Yeah, that's, you brought it up.
No, we're recording, no one wants to fuck to my laugh. That's all I know. It's vivacious. It's great, but not for that.
Vivacious. It's great. Yeah.
It's startling.
It's really just scary. Like, yeah, if somebody is into it, and then it'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah.
what flavor is that?
Ooh, the banana.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to just, yeah. It's gonna stop.
Lean into the mic.
These acts, yeah.
Lean into the mic.
No,
as you
eat it.
As you say banana, a lot of like these couples just like we're like we should reach for the phone and pause this.
Or just turn my phone.
The most unattractive thing I could have said.
A few 2024 kids were just unborn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
When we said banana,
you're welcome. Birth control.
Yeah. Yeah, we did you a favor.
By way of banana.
We did you a favor. Jesus. Don't worry, man. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
That was
grow up, everybody.
That was stupid.
Yeah? All right. I'm trying.
Whose idea was it to record while eating
cheesecake? Yeah, this is like one of the worst ideas. Like, this shit might be unusable.
I mean, cheesecake is good. So those of you listening, I mean, you can...
If you like cheesecake, and if you like people talking about cheesecake.
Yeah, not you having it yourself.
Yeah, and if you hate people, enjoy it.
Yeah.
if you like listening to people enjoy food, which I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people really like hearing people like grunt, chew. You know, I think people like that. So I think I think we're doing good. I think
if they like hearing people eat soft desserts, this is the podcast for you and your family.
Come to the right place.
It's not family friendly, but
if menudo was a dessert, it's that texture, right?
Oh my
god!
That's
what we're trying to give you.
Oh,
did I just ruin?
And that's Mexican chitlins, right?
You have the menudo.
Menudo and the sweet tamales, which are
the
an abomination.
Ones. Yeah, I hate the pink ones.
And then
it's a waste of effort because it's hard work.
Don't do it.
And the raisins are just like that extra, like you took something shitty and you said, how do I make this fucking the pinnacle of shit?
The texture is not right for sweetness.
It's like, dog, we got flan. You don't need to make a sweet tamale.
Right.
Yeah. Tres leches.
Yeah.
Delicious.
You know? Yeah. It's whack. Roddy.
I mean. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Don't ever.
But I don't
it's a pink sweet tamale. That has raisins in it. So it's like a dessert.
I don't like the Mexican dessert where it's like spicy. It's just not.
Isn't spicy.
I would say spicy.
Straight sweet. What do you say? No savory at all.
No.
It's a dessert.
Weird texture for like, sweet. I'm telling you.
Dog, I don't need a.
Gelatin?
No.
It's
straight up tamal consistency.
I love gelatinas. Now that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
something
weird.
About our people that I love.
It's fucking weird.
I like the texture. I don't give a fuck
how you. That's feel a about good it. Gelatinous. Damn, that challenges your menudo take.
No, it's not. It does not. It's still gross. You are incorrect. I am correct. We are moving on now. Let's do that. I get. There's a visceral.
Better bread.
There's one
argument. That's all.
There's a visceral anger that I have when I see that big olla where they have all the tamales going, that you occupied. Good tamales real estate to put those pink abominations in there.
You're talking about opportunity cost?
Yeah. I mean, I could be eating a fucking delicious pork fucking tamale.
And those corn husks too, they're using that?
Yeah.
Same
so they're deceptive sometimes because you reach in there and you're like, I'm going to get fucking gold here. And then you get a turd.
That's one thing about tamales. It's like if you just never know what you're going to get.
That's
which
true.
It's cool. I think it's cool.
You can peek, but it's ambiguous sometimes.
Yeah, you're just like, oh shit. Yeah.
Did you just quote Forrest Gump?
Oh,
life
God.
Is like a
like yeah. Tamale. Life is like just a plastic bag of tamales. You never know what you're gonna get from the lady on the street that sold them to you.
It's like you were vegetarian for 11 years. Yeah. She made a mistake. You're no longer vegetarian for 11 years.
It's like, right.
Man, I was a vegetarian for 2 years when I was like. 17.
You don't say. You couldn't stop telling people about that shit. You were one of those vegetarians.
I know. I was so annoying. I was extremely annoying about it. Like, you know, meat is murder. Meh, meh, meh. And now I'm like, give me all the meats. This is the No Chingues podcast. I am Erica L. Sanchez, and I have brought together some of the most undesirable.
I thought you were going to say cutting edge.
you mispronounced handsome.
Yeah, did you? A fucking brain fart.
Delightful, I believe, is what we are. So many adjectives.
Some shit. But, you know, they were the only ones around, so I was like, whatever.
Inspiring, brave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whimsical.
Whimsical.
Shiny.
Whimsical as fuck up in this motherfucker.
Uh-huh. Flagrant.
Flagrant.
Flagrant. Mm. Flatulent.
Damp. Oof.
Man. This is not a pretty picture we're painting.
Yeah, we just show up sweaty. And
anyway, so I'm Erica L. Sanchez, and I am the type of person who wears Prince t-shirt dresses, which is what I'm wearing right now.
Nice. Jorge, back from the dead. That is the Beanie Baby convention.
A fiasco, yeah.
I'm into Hot Fritos. I took that money. I put it into Beanie Babies. I was told it was the next crypto, and it's not looking too good.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
Damn.
Yeah.
La regaste.
I am Martin Malecho, PhD in Pendejadas from Danny Trejo University, and I write Family Matters erotic fan fiction.
Oh, my God.
Damn. All right. Well, what's up? I'm Roddy. I've been working all day, so I definitely don't want to be here. I feel like I got to be for the children.
We love the children.
That's right. Got to give them that game.
So let's get into No Chingues.
Well, I got one. I got my No Chingues. You know, since we talked last, there was another shooting, of course, a mass shooting, which is terrible. It was the one in the Texas Mall. I think it was about a week and a half ago.
Is it like Eagle Pass, or am I making that up?
And this is Allen, I think.
One in Allen, Texas. Yeah. And the shooter was clearly a white supremacist. But there was an interview with Elon Musk, and they asked him about this specifically. Just sort of about Twitter giving a platform to people and all that. But they asked him about this shooter specifically, because as it happened, it was last week, and he said, I think it was incorrectly ascribed to be a white supremacist action. So he said that, and that we know that not to be true for several reasons, but I'll say that, you know. But then he said right after that, I'm saying that I thought ascribing it to white supremacy was bullshit. Like, he was angry. He said bullshit on, like, CSNBC. He's very angry that you would even suggest.
But didn't he have, like, literature, tattoos, like the whole fucking nine?
The shooter had swastika tattoos, SS tattoos, participated in like chat rooms that neo-Nazi stuff was, had a patch for some, like, right-wing Nazi squad, something like that. Like, he was clearly, obviously, definitely a white supremacist and had those leanings. And he, for him, and like...
But what if he was doing research?
Wait.
But the thing about the Elon, though, is his anger. Yeah. Like, for you to... So, like, it's funny. It's like, knowing that's a white supremacist and saying it's a white supremacist makes him mad that you would... He was, like, offended that you would call him a white supremacist. Like, so, wait, are you, like, you a white supremacist? Like, why did... Like, the dude's obviously a white supremacist. You're like, it just makes me so mad that you say he's a white supremacist. Like, so what...
What does it take?
Yeah, like, and also, like, what are you saying about yourself? Like, why are you so mad that... Why are you contesting it as a white supremacist so much? And then, you know, and then why does that make you so mad?
Yeah, what is like that about? It's like someone wearing, like, a Cubs jersey. And you're like, how dare you call him a Cubs fan?
And then why does that piss you off
but
so much?
Bro, but he's the emblems, the...
I mean, my question is, like, so are you mad? Are you a white supremacist? And you're like, we don't do it that way? Is that what you're so mad about?
Yeah, it was
like, what's he, what's kind of what it sounds like. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any fucking sense unless that's what the fuck he's talking about, I guess.
He's projecting.
Well, he's just like, I'm Elon and I'm a white supremacist and I'm not shooting people in the mall. That's basically what he's saying.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? You know like what I mean? He's just like, no, we don't do that.
Yeah. We kill them another way.
It is a message.
We do it systematically now.
Yeah. Oh, it's a long play.
Yeah, it's a long con.
Oh, my God. You know?
Oh, for real. Like, that's what he's saying. I mean, like, what else is he saying? Someone else tell me what the fuck. Yeah. Why would you be mad about that?
Well,
it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, no, was not a white supremacist. We wouldn't do that. Yeah.
You know, <Jesus. laughs> One thing I wanted to add on to that, and I could be, someone will have to fact check me, but I'm pretty sure the person that did it had like a Latin last name. So I wonder if that's part of why he was trying to say like, that's not a white person.
I saw Republicans like, doing that for sure.
It was like one of these main last names. I won't say it in case I'm like wrong with it, but it's one of those big Latin last names. And I'll say a couple things. With Texas, a lot of those like Latin folks are pretty far removed. So they might see themselves as a complete white person. But they have, this is why we do what we do. It sounds like we're talking shit, but we're keeping folks from being these monsters listening to worse things. There's a ton of clickbait garbage out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, again, basically what I'm saying is I don't know if they are Latin or not. Definitely a white supremacist.
Garcia.
Definitely a white supremacist no matter what. But this is why we do this. Like, none of us have to be here and complaining every week, they might think. But no, we're not. We're keeping folks in tune with, like, what it's not. What it is, what it's not.
Yeah, the truth of the matter.
And
because
that's insane.
The truth is always cloaked and hidden and denied to us. And so I'm just like, I don't know. We have to shift the way that we think collectively.
And white,
white supremacy permeates everything.
I was going to say, this is not a U.S. specific problem. Like, Latin America has white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we are a product of colonization.
They got Spanish last names too, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And I mean, there are a lot of white
all the politicians are white folks, typically, I've seen.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll have a, you know, a Spanish last name. Yeah.
And there's a deep desire from it's always guys, man. It's always dudes, right? Who have like this undying desire to be like adjacent to whiteness. So you have like these guys who are then Proud Boy motherfucker. Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Enrico.
Another, Tare, right? Yeah. Like, that's another Latino, right? So like we don't, it's not something that we can say does not exist in the Latino community, right?
It definitely does.
We're seeing it firsthand. And if you didn't already know, like, there it is. There's tons of evidence for it, which means you got to call out folks in all communities. It doesn't fucking matter.
White supremacists, like, attitudes isn't a black community. I mean, Kanye was talking as a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Same ideals. I mean, it's self-hate, you know, but I'm saying, he was not.
Still a white supremacist.
Yeah, that's white supremacy.
Exactly.
Like, that's the shit he was on.
Damn, yeah. Shit, I forgot about that.
To say slavery is a choice is white supremacy, period. And it's also just straight lying about what the fuck happened.
That's insane.
That's white supremacy. I don't know how to just say what it would be other than that, right?
Those are the same people that say, like, what, the Holocaust was made up. That's the same people. How the fuck do they, like, just decide that all this shit that's very real, it's damn near tangible. Like, you can see it with your eyes. You can walk up to, you know, my neighborhood growing
they
up and like see
crazy.
The system.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's in your fucking head.
No, if you have
if you
have a counter narrative that white people are better than people of color, then fucked up neighborhood that's all minorities makes sense to you. You could be like, oh, because they're just not as smart as me. White supremacy. I mean, that's right. Other than literally history, which is what people like DeSantis in Florida are like, they're not even trying to teach African American history anymore because it takes away, destroys that narrative. It smashes that narrative to pieces. The truth kills it.
Yeah.
And it's a game of hierarchy, right? It's a game of like, we're at the top, we're going to stay here. And the way that we stay here is by pushing this message,
it's a long time.
Silencing these voices. And then as a result, if people start to ingest that, regardless of what your background is, like all of these dumbasses, they're like, well, shit, if this is the hierarchy, this is what exists, then I want to be a part of that top tier. So you ingested it. You took it in. You actually bought this bullshit that they sold you, despite the fact that they're looking at you and you've been, you're still, you're not part of their community, but yet you're carrying their water, right?
I'll just say a lot of rich, not a lot, but if you notice, rich people of color, some of them are all over this white supremacist ideology.
Yeah.
Because they just want to hoard it.
Yeah. It favors their business sometimes.
Yeah. Favors them. Yeah.
They like tax breaks and like it's a big greed play.
Yeah, I guess it's really depressing.
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, getting flewed out.
This motherfucker.
Getting flown out.
Why you even want to be in a yacht if you got to be with those motherfuckers? Hey,
That's some thought shit.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas on some thought shit. Like, you heard it here first.
He's like, I'm going to fly you out if you get rid of abortion. Yeah. He's like, all right, bet.
Oh, my God.
He's like, bet, fly me out. I'll put you on a yacht. He's like, for real? He's like, yeah,
the fact that you know he'd be willing.
Turks and Caicos promise.
He's like, for real? Oh, shit, I'll do that shit then.
Can my ugly wife come? And he's like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, shit. All right, then. I'll do that shit then. All right. I got you, baby.
Fuck, man.
Clarence Thomas, bitch ass, man.
But you know that motherfucker would vote against interracial marriage despite being in an interracial marriage.
He'd argue that he's white.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm on the Supreme Court, dog.
Yeah.
I done made it.
I had a thought earlier this week about these migrants and because they've the migrants are now here in Chicago. The recent ones is what I mean. And they were sent by, you know, who sent them exactly?
These ones, like the most recent ones that were sent. So migrants come across the border. I think they were from Texas. And they just, the government in Texas puts them on a bus. They don't even know where the fuck they're going. So just send them to Chicago.
So now they're here. And these poor souls are sleeping on the floors of police stations and just like at the mercy. Mercy of people, kind people. It's really bad. People have been walking from South America. Could you just even imagine what that's like? It's bananas.
It's a lot of trains and walking, right? Isn't that kind of the...
It's so dangerous. And I mean, I could go on and on.
Freight trains, that's very dangerous.
Yeah. And so to go through that and then to get here and then to have to sleep on the floor of this police station and like not have many resources. And then I'm like, what if they had brought Ukrainians to the city?
Right.
Like what would have happened?
Well, you know, I think something that we should talk about, because I mean, this is what this podcast is about. There was an article in local Chicago Black Club about the migrants getting sent here, mostly from Venezuela, I think, but they're in the South Shore, a black area. Disinvested from the city for sure. There's a bunch of closed high schools from about 10 years ago where the former mayor Rahm Emanuel decided to close high schools.
Yep. A lot, like 50. Yeah.
So there's a lot of like just, you know, so they're putting migrants there, and the community unfortunately is fighting against that, using a lot of the same language you know, that's given to us from that is used to divide us.
Yeah. Us versus them?
Yeah, us versus them when, you know, and it's really unfortunate, but you know, their argument is that, you know, you're going to take resources from us here in this neighborhood that's disinvested and then give it to someone else, but there's all these other neighborhoods that have investment. And so, like, like to your point
about... They wouldn't send them to the swanky ones that have the space and the...
Roscoe Village and some shit, right? They have, you know, the resources, all this kind of stuff, right? And just think about that. So, like a really nice neighborhood here, but if they were Ukrainian, if there were 3,000 Ukrainians got dropped in Chicago, I wonder which parts of the city and which neighborhoods... They have like they would be
not the top.
You don't have to wonder that actually happened. Right?
They would make an effort to integrate them.
Yeah. When we received Ukrainian migrants as a result of the war, they were taken in, and they were put in certain places, and the support was overwhelming. So
let me say the support for the migrants that have come here from the community, the citizens in Chicago, has been enormous. Mm-hmm. Like, total, I mean, amazing. And, like, we care about these people.
The nonprofits are doing great work.
The nonprofits, some churches, a lot of, are really doing work for these people. And it's beautiful. And the community, too. People are coming out donating all kinds of stuff, giving up their homes, spaces for people to live. all that stuff. It's just that, you know, the government was not ready. And a lot of people said, Lori Lightfoot wasn't ready, didn't do anything to prepare for this, even though we know at this point, it's been a couple years. Right. They've been doing this bullshit from Texas. Like, we know this is happening. So it's something that we should have prepared for. So I hope our new mayor, Brandon Johnson, who just got sworn in, like, I don't know, a week ago. Yeah. I hope he said that this is important. And I hope he does some shit about this, because this is an urgent, urgent moment for us in Chicago.
I think it's up in his alley, but yeah, it's like that movie. It's like everything, everywhere, all at once. Like, he just started, and that's a lot to take on. Like, folks getting sent, and they got to sleep, they got to eat, you got to like assimilate them.
And then I keep thinking about the babies. Like, babies are so impractical. Like,
we just have to. That's the thing. We have to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hope it's a better look, though. Yeah. To your point, I hope the babies and these families get to these places with space, with resources, with safety. Yeah.
But if you ask, if you ask a lot of migrants, like, people are helping, like, you know, the community is coming together. But it's like, obviously the city wasn't
sustainable.
Ready. They're just staying in. The reason they're in lobbies of police stations is if you're homeless and the shelters are closed, you could just stay in a lobby of a police station. Yeah. So that's what they're doing.
Oh yeah.
And so that's why they're there. But so that shows me, if it's overcrowded like that, the city did nothing to prepare for this or has no plan for this. So this
I think there's an overwhelming amount of support for the migrants, for sure. People coming in, I think you're seeing that. But to speak back to what you brought up before, I think there is this weird thing that happens when you are existing in a community that has been has not been invested in, where suddenly you start competing for resources, right? Like, well, we don't get shit, right? Yeah, yeah. So it always becomes like, instead of looking at, like, sometimes we look in the wrong direction. And I've almost seen this when people argue about minimum wage, right? Like, oh, these people at Burger King are trying to get $15 an hour. I'm like, so you're arguing about somebody getting a living wage because they might be a little bit closer to whatever you're making, as opposed to looking at the people exploiting this system. And I feel like this is kind of part and parcel of the same issue, where, like, it's divide and conquer because you're looking at somebody else who's competing for these limited resources that you do not get. So instead of looking at, like, who set up the system, why is the system set up to exploit you and these people, you go, well, these people are my competition, fuck them. And there is a strand of that that needs to be addressed, where I'm like, we're looking in the wrong direction, right? These systems, we are the wealthiest nation on the fucking planet, right? The folks who are here are largely here because of, you know, to a degree, our international role of, like, undermining democracies and exploiting economic systems in other countries so that they're fucked and they got to come here.
It doesn't happen in a vacuum, you know? Like, everything has a cause and effect. And to pretend like the United States hasn't gone into Latin America and ravaged it in many different kinds of ways, many different countries. I mean, that's preposterous to pretend that didn't happen and that it didn't affect their economy and people were forced to migrate, because no one wants to walk 3,000 miles. I'm telling you, no one
to leave their home.
Yeah.
Leave their culture.
No one.
Yeah.
And so people are doing this out of desperation because their lives are at risk, because they can't feed their children. And so it just really kills me that they're met with so much hate when they get here. And this is supposed to be like the land of safety and opportunity for them. And then it's land not. Land of
the free?
But that's what, I mean, and again, that's white supremacy. That's what you, like,
yeah.
Like, it's about, it. Like, there's no reason that the richer parts of the city can't support this.
Yeah.
They,
like,
just don't want it.
Yeah. It's just, but they politically also, it's just a bad move. Like, politically, these are people that vote. These are people that donate to campaigns. So you're going to, and if they don't want that. They don't, like, they can say they're liberal as fuck, but they literally,
if it's inconveniencing them, they don't like it.
So that's it's honestly very, from a politician's point of view, it's like, who's going to hurt you the most? And you put it in a community that's already disinvested. And it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the play that's happening, which is really fucked up. So think about who's doing this shit to you. You know what I'm saying?
What I'll say, to your exact point, for them folks eavesdropping, for the white folks eavesdropping, it's like, dude, this is, imagine you and your kids, the American economy was just horrendous for 15 years and it's violent now and you're just like everywhere and you're just like, damn, I got to get up out of here because it's my kids. And you went somewhere and everyone was fucking mean to you in every systemic support possible way. Yeah, maybe someone might say good morning, but I'm talking about like anything that I need to be good, I'm not getting, and I'm getting like denied like violently.
You're getting it from work.
You're getting it from nonprofits and private citizens. That's what you're getting. Yes. You're not getting it from the
government. Yeah.
The system's so blatant. So imagine like I'm trying to, for those eavesdroppers who might be of the melanin deficiencies and might have kids, I'm like, think about it that way. Like if you went somewhere and they were just like, good fucking luck. We have a system that could probably help you. We've never thought about it. We have the resources, work on it.
But fuck you.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. It's not our priority right now.
Well, look at, okay, so if we're going to take the next step forward and see like the potentially where we end up, right? Florida is the case in point right now. Their anti-immigrant stance, their SB.
It's like what could is what that state's become.
No, that's the Petri dish. If we don't keep talking about this. That is the Petri dish, the Republican Petri dish. So if you just look at what's going on, you have Minnesota, which I think is very Democratic at the moment. They got a Democratic governor and like a general assembly or whatever they have. And then you have fucking Florida as a comparison. And you look at what they're doing now that they have certain powers. So you have Minnesota, I believe, has offered up free lunch and breakfast for kids, if I'm not mistaken. Amazing. I could be wrong. They are doing different things to support the education. They're doing all of these things that you look at, like just good for just people, humans that live in their state. And then like take a step over and look at Florida and they're like, well, how can we fuck everybody over? How can we fuck trans people over? Right? How could we make them the villain for all of our problems? How can we like fuck over migrants who are here, immigrant folks who are undocumented folks who are here?
That's bad. I'm surprised we haven't talked about that
yet. Allow them not to work. Like, do not allow them to work, like SB 1718 or whatever that is.
Can you explain that? Like, break that down?
Florida just went through that.
SB 1718, if you have not heard, is a law passed by the governor, like signed by the governor, passed by their legislature.
DeSantis.
That criminalizes undocumented
high
people.
High heels DeSantis.
High heel DeSantis. That criminalizes just existing as an undocumented person. So at the moment, if you look around, work sites are empty. Like that means construction. Folks aren't there in the fields. Nobody's there. Like, because we've been exploiting migrant labor for so long. And that's one of the things that I get pissed off about as we look at this issue is like, we're seeing what, you know, we've been exploiting this for so long and they just decided to make this fucking, this Republican move. And so you have people fleeing the state because they don't know, just existing in the state as an undocumented person means you are in danger, right? Working, employers can't employ people because if they get caught, now it's a felony. These fines are up. Like all of these things that now, like just existing. So people are fleeing the fucking state. Yeah.
You know, that's terrorism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's making people move on a dime. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They can't just exist. They can't just go about their day. They have to fear that these people are going to lock them up. Yeah. You know?
And they're propping up your economy and everything, yeah,
right,
that you,
and that's what they're realizing.
This one's gonna, it's this like one's gonna be like
it's a movie back in the day,
like a day without a Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, there's that, and then like if a dog caught a car, they always say,
yeah,
they chase a car, they bark at a car, but they wouldn't know what to do if they actually did. And this is what's gonna happen. They're like, oh, I didn't think we could get this insane racist thing passed. Yeah. Now we have no labor because Latin folks with that are just getting their families established here.
Their economy's in shambles as a result.
No, shambles. Guys. But all the white folks that they were taking the jobs from, they're just going to do those jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, you're missing the whole point.
Yeah, dude, 30 bushels a minute or whatever the hell. They got it.
All those unemployed folks, they're going to take those jobs.
Yeah.
College students are interning in the fields now.
Problem solved.
Yeah, correct. Good point. Missed that one.
Oh, God.
They got like two college guys in digging a truck their or whatever own grave. The hell.
That's what white supremacy does, I think, in many ways. It's just like, you're going to ruin yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, you took it too far. Yeah. I mean,
you run out of stuff to do.
Yeah, it's just a lie.
So it doesn't make any sense. Like, like in practice, it starts to fucking fall.
It's like, you got to like Harry Potter 9 or wherever the hell they took it to. And you're like, this kind of got away from them.
You're right.
Like they had a good thing going. They said actual things.
Yeah. We're at like Police Academy 5 right now.
Fast and the Furious 12.
I'm saying, like, we are deep. Yeah.
The cars go to space now. Fuck.
And this, here's the thing. This happened. Was it? I forget what state it was. It was Alabama or something else. They committed to this approach. Their xenophobia got to them, and their talking points they had to follow up, right? Because they had full control. They did this. They did something similar. They tried to like just make it illegal to exist as an undocumented human being to do any sort of work. And the same thing happened. Their fields were empty. Their workspace, their work sites were empty.
Stupid.
And they lost so much money that 2 years later they had to reverse it. Right. So I'm like, come on, like,
assholes, what
the
fuck?
So Florida's gonna eat their words in a year or two because this is math.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And that's I know there's a lot of like I'm Mexican. A lot of Mexican folks go through that, but that's a lot of South American countries, mm-hmm. Central American countries. That's like half the world is really working these gigs.
It's like, we wouldn't be eating if it weren't for people.
But I think that's one thing that needs to be established too. Like we have been, because the narratives that come out of this, even people who are defending undocumented folks, it's like they fail to realize the underlying fucking thing that we should all recognize is we've been exploiting undocumented people.
Yeah.
We've been paying them jack shit, putting them in inhumane conditions. Because now everybody's like, well, nobody wants to work in these inhumane conditions. No, nobody wants to get paid for this fucking
shit
wage. Right. But we've been doing this to people. Right. Yeah. So I think that's something that escapes people. Because I'm like, the narrative is these people aren't worth it. And even people who support undocumented folks have ingested that. And even their narrative when they're talking about it, when they're defending undocumented folks, I'm like, so you're saying they should be able to go back and be exploited some more? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
the thing about like white folks not wanting to do those jobs is because is that it's not labor in the sense of it's lawless. It's fucking exploited.
Yes.
It's lawless. It's illegal.
Yeah. It's like we talked about the kids in those states working at the factory.
Like, people wouldn't keep coming if there wasn't opportunity like for them to work. Yeah. Right. But so like they're like, who's they're basically
what
like,
else are they going
to
do?
Yeah, they're like, who's the type of motherfucker I could get? Who's desperate enough for me to get them to do this for exactly. How much
we're putting them to
pay
them
jack shit.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
To allow them to live in squalor to like, something that we would never allow for somebody who is a Ukrainian immigrant. We would not allow for that to be the case, right? Because then that would be covered by the media. That would be discussed. That would be
amplified. Let into people's homes. Like everyone would take in Ukrainians.
But brown immigrants have always been exploited. We've never been humanized. So it means like we can continue to exploit them.
Yeah.
And okay, you kick them out of your state, but let them back so they can be exploited some more. That's my issue.
Yeah, we fucked up. We can't get this. We can't make the money we want to make. We need this, modern day slave labor, child labor.
Yeah.
I just want to say why I've always valued this coalition, we call it, the most. Because two completely different like playing fields and processes and experiences. But goddamn, are they playing us like the same way? They're like, what's the most we can get for the least? Mm-hmm. And just so we can stay on top of this like system.
Capitalism is a motherfucker.
So don't this trust is why them. But value this. I hope this reaches like crevices of the country that aren't like these like cities
the deep,
we speak
deep,
to.
Wet crevices.
I don't want us to go to crevices. Yeah. Let's stay out of crevices. Like,
crevasses?
I'm gonna pick up a disease.
Take a crevice for I'd rather not.
Yeah, damp.
Well, for sure. I want this to be on like your moist places.
You put
that
baby powder
light
on like your neck crevices.
Ew.
You know?
Oh boy.
Baby powder causes cancer. That's
so
a
you
fact.
Want, so what do you want to do?
Johnson and Johnson.
So you want these I'm sorry, go on. You want this to get into crevices so that it can get in there and
of the no, just like a
fester and
fester.
And just
fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
But it will. Just because I think a lot of our folks that have engaged with us are coming out of like major cities, other countries. But like, I hope this reaches those crevices and just like finds folks that like don't the nooks, crannies in the nooks.
Yeah. The nooks.
And, because
in your cranny.
I know the avenues of information they have are not this. We're talking wild shit. We're eating desserts. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the real shit. We'll probably eat desserts again. Yeah. But like if this reaches them, I'm very happy of those offshoot craves.
Yeah, put it right deep in your crevices. All up in your nooks. Yeah.
Did you guys?
It's like a
crevasse?
Did I crevasse, talk crevasses? About Loveline already? Mm-mm. No, I just want to mention that Loveline for me as like a 13 through 17 year old was, and this is a radio show that I would listen to. It was like so important for me because I got to hear people discuss things that I would never be able to hear otherwise. And so,
is it because you were so deep in a crevice?
No, I wasn't. No, Crevici. I was a city chap.
Like in a.
Sometimes you get so deep in a crevasse that you have to cut off your arm, like that guy from that movie.
Was it like Q101 or what was the station?
It was Q101 Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla, both of whom are fucked.
Right wing loons, both of them.
Crazy. Let's not.
Propagandize.
Yeah. But at the time, it was pretty revolutionary. They were talking about sex. They were talking about relationships. They were talking about all sorts of things that like, I was so curious about, but no one ever told me. And so I feel like in this way, this is a continuation it's been influenced by that. Cause when I was young, I was always like wanting to learn so much about the world, and I didn't have access to a lot of information at times. And so that's kind of what I'm bringing here with No Chingas. That was kind of my inspiration. But those motherfuckers are whack.
Like, I mean, if Loveline was on now, people would be asked about being trans and this, and what to do with their parents and stuff. Mm. But these motherfuckers now are like,
they would not be the ones to speak about this.
That or fucking think it's like they're assholes. So, but back in the day,
they were cool, but I don't know. Yeah. I guess the money got to their heads.
Anyone got another No Chingas?
Oh, I have quite the one.
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm going to set the stage. I saw this clip of this woman who was going on this like book tour. Her book was like a children's book. It was about grief. She had lost her partner. But this woman, turns out, many months later, killed her husband. So the audacity and the gall.
The gall.
The gall.
No, the insane sociopathic like mind to be like,
oh my God,
I'm going to do this thing. And then I'm going to write a book about how sad I am because we have a kid and how sad and how you have to communicate that sad. Damn. But I caused the sad.
What the fuck? People are so twisted.
I love this story.
Wait, so, okay.
This woman.
Mm-hmm. So I've
dead her husband in.
Yeah.
And then wrote a book about grief and loss.
So did she say he committed suicide or he died naturally?
Something like that, yeah. And something of that sense.
And how did she get found out?
Good investigators, maybe some family members keeping the questions alive.
I think did she make the telltale mistake? I've said this before. I've entered my middle-aged white lady era of loving true crime. Yeah. I am a big fan of true crime, and so this is right up my alley.
She left her gloves.
No. I don't know what that means. One of the dumbest ways that people make a mistake is they buy life insurance. And then like a week later they kill the person. I'm like, y'all are stupid.
Yeah.
At least think this through. Like, talk to me. I'll consult. Maybe is that a business?
You're an expert now that you
can we consult
all these
you watch, like,
programs.
Two seasons of Ice Tea. Is
that shit? Law and Order. Yeah. That shit's wild. That shit's wild.
There's not even much to iterate on that, but it's just like, dude, like, folks have the audacity. So that's why we get the system and the situations we have, because folks just got no chill, is what I'm realizing.
But I think that's a sociopathic tendency of thinking that you can you're so much smarter than everybody that they'll never catch on. And I think, like, that clearly.
Can I ask you a question? Is this a white woman?
My favorite thing is, like, don't ask questions you know the answer to.
Okay, all right. She definitely just thought that no one would think that I would do something this heinous.
Yeah.
That was like her. That was her.
Yeah.
She was like, no one would think that Kate I'm would so do sweet. Something like this.
But I feel enabled to go on a book tour.
Duh. Wait, her publisher like had a fucking book tour,
or people just had no idea. They thought it was like natural, or
you got to believe that the publisher knew, and they're like, "Oh, you're gonna go on a book tour? Yeah, that's gonna sell lots. Go,
yeah."
Oh,
especially when once they find out that you did it.
That's a dark thought. Okay. My God. Dude.
Oh, money, shit. Money's money, baby.
Money's money. And you know more money's going to come now that, you know, the true story's up.
I kind of want to read that book now to see how fucking dumb it is. Like, how much how, like, inconsistent it was. Didn't make any sense.
The illustration is somebody weeping with dollar bills tapped on their, like, as they're tapping instead of tissues. Yeah,
it's like a children's book, but it still sounds insincere.
Yeah. You know? Chingadaris, this is what we're talking about.
To speak of our nation's great history.
Just for context, white dude on a bike in Washington, D.C., the Patriot Front, a white supremacist organization, marched in Washington, D.C. like a week ago. And this dude on a bike knew they were coming and rolled up on his bike and started talking shit. And he is a king. That's all I got to say about him. He's a motherfucking king. And I'm just going to hit play if I can do it.
Yeah. Of our khakis. Of our peoples. There is simply no time. If we do not will be.
No one likes no you. Your mom hates you.
Your no mom hates you. Your mom hates you. Fight for.
You were the losers of your high school class.
You're a bunch of incels.
You're sloppy. You're blind and watching. You all got different types of pants on.
The city is on town. And
reclaim your virginity.
And I'm a refuge from the cities. But only insofar as
yeah, they're from the suburbs for sure.
Look like general custard. It was in the sun.
Yeah, bam, bam, bada bing. That was, I don't.
Those are allies right there.
That's the ally we're talking about right there.
Pull up on your bike and talk some shit.
Talk mad shit. No, you see white supremacy at any level, talk your shit.
From what I read, he found out they were coming somehow on the internet. It was like, I'm going to ride my bike, find these motherfuckers in the park, wherever they're at, found them. Because like they were obviously trying to march like off hours. This shit was probably like 5 o'clock in the morning when no one was going to be there because they're little bitches. And they knew they were in the middle of motherfucking Washington, D.C. talking that shit. I don't know if you've been to D.C., but that ain't going to fly talking that shit out there. This dude found out and just rolled up and just started talking shit. And he knew. He knew about their pants. I appreciate it. He might listen to podcasts because he's like, he knew.
Yeah. He went right for the khakis.
About their Circus City khakis. Went right for them. Yeah. And went at them.
Best Buy khakis from the waist down looking ass. Fucking he said, king.
The Skechers, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Love that guy. That dude it was a white dude. Little fat white dude on the bike, but we love you. And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And also, they didn't do shit. Because they do live in their mom's basements.
Yeah. He called out a lot of truths. There's a lot of white people in that park, but only one was speaking truths.
Were they in the video, were they wearing, because this is their new thing, right, where they're wearing masks at their
They
gatherings?
Were all masked. So all the people that were marching. So what
say
was
that
really,
shit, man. Say that shit what with was your happening? Chest.
Yeah, they were like saying some weird, like, fake Confederacy bullshit, like giving some speech, and he was out there just talking shit. Yeah. There were cops protecting them, and they were wearing khakis and little Circus City shirts. Like, they literally had the Circus City colors on this one. Like, for real. Like, literally, they had Circus City colors on.
And don't they get to wear, like, ski masks?
They should hire a stylist.
Wait, but no, but this is also crazy, too, that a group of white folks could wear ski masks at a park and be chanting loud, and if anyone else pulled up to a park dressed the same and was yelling loud with ski masks on, it would go a little different.
I think they got a permit and shit. Because they're little bitches.
But like a gang couldn't get a permit. And it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, they're terrible.
No, you see what I'm saying? That's what I'm kind of seeing is the one supported, a bunch or not.
And there were cops all around. The only one, you know, we had a hero though show up.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know. And that.
Do we have a name that we can share?
I can find his name. But what do we call him? He took the internet by storm, that dude.
He's a hero.
He shot us.
I'm 100% behind this dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's join forces. That's, there he is.
Yep, there he is again.
Our man.
It's our king. Anyone else got a Chingadaris?
I like that one because we weren't in D.C. So appreciate dude ass.
Well, I don't have one, but along those lines, I know that who's that representative from Georgia, that Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever? Mm-hmm. She got into a back and forth with Bowman, I believe is Representative Bowman. I forget where, Democrat, what he represents. Yeah, a Democratic, a black man. They got into, they were talking, and obviously he was essentially calling her out as a white supremacist. She's been out here saying, calling her a white supremacist is equivalent to her or anyone else using the N-word towards a person, a black person. And she said those words came out of her mouth, and she clearly firmly believes that shit. And that's just where we are right now in 2023. Which,
on top of that, she also said later in that same thing, I think that she felt like threatened by him. Yeah. That's the classic how black men, black and brown folks get beat up and killed because you're like, I feel threatened.
Emmett Till.
Yeah. No,
I'm honestly going to tell you, like, I bet you the dude got death threats because she said.
Guaranteed.
It's 100% chance. So just think about this. This is a fucking senator too, or representative,
with house rep, with like a fan base for the hysteria, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And they know the game that they're playing. Like, she knows that. Like, you know that she's weaponizing this, and she knows her constituents are going to be like 100% behind her. And apparently, you know, all the white supremacists in the country feel that she's their, you know, leader.
Yeah, called somebody. Yeah, that's by name and by like I feel.
Yeah.
You got threatened. You might have a violent following, probably. Yeah.
I have a chingadera. Someone asked about, I'll just read the question. Navigating upward social and economic mobility while your friends or family, quote unquote, stays back. That's a big question. Who's got an answer?
Well, maybe they are staying back. I don't know. That's hard. I see how you feel like that, though. I can understand that. Or just not trying to learn new things like you. Be, you know what I mean?
Or they just...
be out there like you are.
Have to keep working.
Yeah.
They can't, like, advance the way that you're able to advance. And that sometimes can make us feeling... make us feel guilty, and I've experienced that sort of guilt, feeling like, oh well, what, why me and why not everyone else, and you know, being the first woman in my family on both sides to be able to go to school and, you know, have a much better life and have access to resources, like, it's, you know, a huge deal. But sometimes it does feel kind of strange when not everyone has advanced with you in that way. But yeah, just keep loving them and being there. I think people want you to do well for the most part. And if they don't, then they probably shouldn't be in your life.
Yeah, I think that's what she's asking, that part. Because, like, you know, as I'm thinking about that question, it's like, people try to pull you back sometimes. You know what I mean? And you know, I think, you know, it's hard, but I think sometimes you have to make it. Like, you can't do what you're trying to do, and you can't support whatever family or friends or whatever you're trying to do if you are lugging someone that doesn't really... it's not contribute, but also is like detrimental to your doing what you want to do. It's chasing the happiness that you're trying to get. And it's not like whatever your morals are fucked up. Like, you're trying to do something that's good. That is moral, that has value, you know?
Yeah. You shouldn't feel guilty for being happy or trying to be happy and, you know, building the life that you want. And, you know, it might make people uncomfortable the way that you live or whatever, but, you know, you get one life, and what the fuck else are you going to do? You know? And so I feel you on that, but also be proud of yourself for doing everything that you've done, and feeling, you know, compassion for other people. That's really important, but also understanding that you're doing great things, and you deserve happiness and safety and comfort.
I'll agree with you. And the one thing I think might be coming out in that question too is that with, like, if they happen to be Latin, the person asking the question, a lot of pressure to just be like very family oriented. And that's great, a two word combo to think about. But like what that means, it's a little, I think, exaggerated in Latin culture where we have big families and you have like,
we've just 20, assimilated
25 cousins. And, but you being like a family man, it's not your immediate family and the kids you have and the parents you have. It becomes like, I think a lot of the pressures are actually like full family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love my extended family, but dude, just being Mexican and healthy, how everyone's been, there's so many family.
You ain't got
love them. Yeah. See you regularly, see you at like a good cadence, but like
you can't worry about what they think about you.
I worry about like well, like 6-7 people.
No, my cousin,
you know what I mean, like
it's funny. Can't,
yeah,
it contains so much worry.
It's and
so
lovely to see them, the 25-30 of them. But when you see those 5-7 that the folks day in day out, I think that's, I wonder if there's some of that in that question.
No, yeah, for sure. Like I love my cousins, mm-hmm. and I have 50 cousins. I have a lot of, but I know all of them. I love, you know.
Yeah.
And, but like, and like you can't live for these motherfuckers. And I love my aunties, but I cannot live for them. Yeah. I cannot
love to see them, but can't live for
but
them.
But like what they for sure. say about me, it's like, it is not.
And that
concern.
Goes for anyone, right? Yeah. Outside your family, inside your family, like you can't accommodate everyone's opinion. Right?
You just
do lunch when you can, and outside of that.
But my cousin came to visit, and he was like, "Yo, you're one of the ones that got away." And it's like, I know all the ones that got away are cool, and then we named off all the cousins that like kind of just moved away from where we was at. And it was like,
they were all cool, huh?
Super cool. Yeah. Like, you know, like do like on your vibe, like doing what you're doing, like striving what you're striving for. You know what I mean?
The only, I mean, and I don't think this is coming from the question. So this is not at the listener. The one thing that I think I've seen, right? Like, if anybody works in a professional setting and that's not really where your family came from, like it's easy. And I've seen it from other people to buy into the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow now you are here at the top and your family for whatever reason is not there. So that is a cautionary tale because I've seen it so many times at this point. People ingest this idea. They're like, well, I did it the right way. Look at me. I'm having success.
And I've heard that in that question and before.
And success is monetary, success is status, success is education, all of these things that it becomes really tempting for some people to then go like, well, I want to feel like I'm at the top of this pyramid and I'm going to look down at everybody else. And I'm like, that's just, and again, I don't think that this is what the listener is saying, but I have seen this before.
I've heard
that
before.
That's definitely a thing.
Like you ain't shit. Like you're doing well. Great. Like, and that's always my attitude. Yeah. Like you still ain't shit. Right. Yeah, like, and that's not a negative. I'm like, you ain't shit. Like everybody else ain't shit.
But we're all, I mean, we're on this question. I'm doing great. But like if I went home, who gives a fuck?
Right. You know what the question did too? It also like made you gauge it. Cause I'm like, who am I in front of or behind? I never looked at it that way. So there is, I think part of the question is a little loaded, something to think about. But the main part of the question is just like focus on, I don't know, your immediate family or if your extended is small, but like don't overextend yourself. That's quite worrisome. If you're just invested in everything anyone's doing, no, we're all adults.
No.
Love seeing your cousins. You said, I said, you said, you said.
Right. Think about what they're asking you to do all the time too. And then be like, does anyone else ask me to do that kind of shit?
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot we don't know about the asker, but I think for the most part,
I feel like only cousins
we covered it all.
I don't think only cousins ask you to smoke
weed on Thanksgiving though. That's a cousin exclusive relationship.
I don't think we've ever answered a question that thoroughly before. So whoever asked that, like,
that's you're, a good one. We you're welcome.
We didn't get off topic, and you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Changing lives every week.
Yeah, that's right.
Every other week,
honestly.
We're here, Si Chingas, where we actually say positive things for once in our fucking lives. Things that we're celebrating, things that we're happy about, personal lives, shit that we're reading, watching, listening to, all of the fun stuff. So I'll get us rolling. I have two real quick ones. This is every year for me. I love the NBA playoffs. They're fantastic. This year in particular, they're great. I'm watching the Heat fucking clobbering the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here. This is a team that, like, drag themselves into the playoffs and are now like just cleaning the shit out of the first seed, which is unheard of.
Say the Hawks fucking fucked them up in the play-in, I'm just gonna say.
well, the Heat barely got past the Bulls, so you're like rooting for the
pretty much we're rooting for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Right? Is
yeah.
that what we're doing? And, the Bulls, if the Heat win, the Bulls win. So yeah. NBA champs.
Everyone gets rings.
The whole, the whole we lost to the best one.
Erica, what do you think about all this?
Yeah.
As your eyes glazed over the moment I said NBA.
About the sports balls.
I was thinking about really random shit.
Cheesecake?
Like the Wiggles.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
The Wiggles.
I guess my second Cichingas is real quick too. This show just came out on Amazon. It's called Primo by Che Serrano. So if you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
4-time, I believe, New York Times bestseller.
Damn.
Mexican dude from San Antonio. Who this show is produced by Mike Schur. So if you know The Office, he was involved in that. I think he produced Parks and Rec, which is my favorite show of all time, I or love one of them that at least. So just was watching the first few episodes today. I like it. It's like a family show. It is a family of a sister and all of her brothers. There's a whole shit ton. And then the kid who's like a teenager. It's like a coming of age story, but you also get like the family. It's a very family friendly show, but it's focusing on the family. All these brothers, funny. There's heart to it. Go check it out.
It's Mike Schur, fella. He also did The Wire, right?
No.
Okay. Cause no, I'm just fucking.
Also lighthearted. lighthearted comedy. Yeah,
and The Sopranos also.
I understand. The dude did like, what's the British coach that everyone that talks about Apple TV? Like
Ted Lasso.
I think he did that too. He's like,
I don't think so.
He's associated with that.
He's Mike spreading Schur? Misinformation.
No, Mike Schur is. I don't believe so. I think that's another.
I heard Mike Schur did 9/11.
Yeah. Oh my god!
And this is how shit gets started.
Oh boy!
I love it.
Wait. So which streaming service was this?
It's through some streaming service, but you can watch it on Amazon. Okay. So if you go to Amazon and look up Primo, it's good shit.
Okay.
Check it out. Support Mexicans support Mexicans. That's the rule. Fucking go do it.
I mean, we've been waiting for content.
Officially, right now. He did 9/11, and he's a Mexican. Mike Schur.
We're going to get in trouble. All right, who's next?
He has like a comment, and his name is like Mike Schur.
All right, who's next?
We don't appreciate getting yelled at.
I'll throw a chancla next time.
You got
it. I was waiting for you. Oh my god. Okay. All right. I'd like to give a shout out to my boy Thich Nhat Hanh. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Vietnamese monk who wrote many, many brilliant books, one of which is The Art of Living, and it's been really transformative for me. And it's made me see the world very differently and myself very differently. And thinking of myself as not a self necessarily, but a being made up of many different things. And I find that really beautiful. And and how to enjoy every moment and understand impermanence and how impermanence makes our life meaningful and etc. And then also our ancestors, how we are our ancestors and we're in a manifestation of them, and just very beautiful ways of looking at life and the world. And so I'm obsessed with it. I listened to it and now I'm going to read it. And then my next book recommendation is called Real Self-Care by Pooja Lakshmin, MD. And it's about, I think it's written with women in mind and how we can take care of ourselves by like setting boundaries. And even when we're in really difficult situations, we can still like choose ourselves. And also about how a lot of what we suffer is systemic and how we need to fight against that. And I haven't finished it, but so far it's been really great.
I think I saw her interviewed when she was promoting the book. This is essentially talking about like how you can't like meditate yourself out of
exactly
like systemic abuses and things that are set up to like,
yes,
like break you. Right.
Right. You can't like have a spa day with your girlfriend and then just like go back to work at and the factory. And that gets rid of racism. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that because I think a lot of the
you can't get a mani-pedi about it.
No, I mean, those are all nice things. Don't get me wrong. I love them, but it is much deeper than that. Yeah. It's like, you know, having affordable childcare.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, getting paid a fair wage. I mean, I could go on and on, but the point that I love that she makes is, you know, it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge that we're not just like, we don't fail necessarily. The world may want us to feel that way. Like it's a personal,
yeah,
failing. Right. But it's not, it's something much bigger. It's a system and it's oppressive. And so, I just like the way she breaks it down and I am looking forward to finishing it.
Nice.
Very cool.
My teaching is, real quick, Chicago MC Vic Spencer. I didn't know too much about him, but he's got a huge catalog. He considers himself the Chicago Sean Price, you know, which is a, yeah, which is a,
I think he worked with Sean Price pretty, yeah, closely, yeah, for some time.
Which is a funny, you know, it's a good comparison. But, like, he's just a rapper for Chicago raps. He's prolific in that he has a lot of music he put out because he just raps about everyday life. It reminds me of, like, you know, just old school musicians just write a song about everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's dope. It's really, really dope. And he's a dope MC and he got dope beats. So,
yeah. Vic Spencer?
Vic. So there's Vic Mensa, but this is Vic Spencer. And he's been, yeah, around forever. I think he's been,
right, yeah,
signed with Trust now, like in 38 Special or something like, yeah, that. But he's, I mean, well, he's always been dope. So he's,
I want to say, yeah, also, to my knowledge, too, when he's not rapping, I think he, like, family man, day job, and I think he works with, like, youth in, yeah, the hood, which
I know,
like,
that
that's one of the favorite, like, occupations. Like,
he, dude, might need to read that book that Erica just talked about, the real self-care.
No, he also came, shit, up, and he also raps, so he came up in group homes or something.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
oh,
he's,
my God,
like, I forget about that too. I, yeah, like, he's from,
like,
the West Side.
I feel like he should be more popular, yeah, given his skill in rapping, yeah, and, yeah, his point,
tenure,
of,
too.
His point of view, his tenure. Like, he's dope. He's,
I think,
really, really
guys
dope.
Guys like that, I often think about where I'm like, you just, he's doing, obviously, he's doing well. He's on people's radar, but I'm always like, there's an element of being quote unquote successful in certain fields where it's like some of it's just dumb fucking luck, yeah, right? Because, yeah, talent wise, like some motherfuckers, I'm like, I listen to some dudes, and I'm like, why aren't you like on everyone's, yeah, like in everyone's ear? Because, yeah, this is fucking phenomenal.
No, man, but yeah, he's a dude. Like I feel like a dumbass because I live in Chicago and I kind of just like, I think I heard him on stuff before, but I really just got into it. I mean, like, he's prolific, he's dope, and it's, there's no reason that he shouldn't be, you know, like people shouldn't talk about him, yeah, here in the city. Like we should, because there's a lot of Chicago rappers that people talk about that are kind of corny sometimes.
Very,
you know, you,
yeah,
know what I mean.
So, yeah, he's been true. He's been rapping for a long time. I've seen him at shows, yeah, and yeah, man, raps his ass off.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's a good. It's like our little podcast that could. That's kind of like that, yeah, same energy. Yeah. So. Shout out to just keep going, because I learned a lot from knowing Erica and how she, as artists, you don't see a lot for a long time, but then you see it all at once. Now you're like,
lucky.
Yeah, yeah, if you're lucky, lucky, and that's, yeah, such a rare occurrence still.
But like,
but yeah, yeah, but like, it's also, you have to commit to this just like non-return for so long, because the arts are not valued like business, like trades, like these immediate transactional things.
Yeah.
The,
yeah,
art, until it gets to the streaming apps or until you go to the show after you've been voluntold, right, that this artist is dope, it's just like such a long drawn thing.
Yeah.
And it teaches us patience. It teaches us like stick to what you love.
Wait, he's a dude though. Like he reminds me of Eric, yeah, in that like he's gonna rap. He'll like no matter, right, what, he's gonna, yeah, be rapping. So like it doesn't like he
and
he,
whether
even,
yeah,
even if he never reaches super, yeah, huge, like that motherfucker's gonna rap.
Well, that's what
he does. It's just art.
Reaching a certain financial plane doesn't make you a better rapper.
No.
Right. So I think, yeah, like the art is the art, right? So if you can recognize some dude who's just doing the work.
You might challenge that. You haven't been to Target in a minute. I don't think you can relate to me.
Yo, if you've been listening to this entire fucking podcast, hey, good for you. Thank you. But also share this shit with whoever the fuck you got to share the shit with. Somebody who fucking would hate this. Somebody would love it.
Mostly with someone who hate it. I want you to share with them.
We want to stir up some pot, shit.
I guess.
Right. Or go to hell. I think that's always the option, right? Like option B is always go to hell.
We kept that option since episode one.
Yeah. Since the beginning.
We are
pro-choice on all fronts.
Yeah. You have a choice.
Yeah.
Like us or go to hell.
Go to hell.
Yes. Give us a thumbs up. I always say that. I don't know why I say that. I can't help it.
They probably could in a different way. But
five stars are nice too, though.
Stars, stars. Give us stars.
We need stars. Thumbs. Bring them all.
And likes.
Nice follows. Reviews.
Mentions.
If it ain't five stars, we don't want it, though.
Are retweets still a thing?
On Tumblr? I don't know. I don't know things anymore.
I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, I ain't on none of that shit.
I'm on MySpace. Anybody on MySpace?
I see you on Yelp all the time.
Shut up.
You're always bigging up places, and it's like, dude, they're doing fine.
No, you say it's big up. Yeah. That's your only review, too.
Yeah, way. And it's always, they always have like 2,500 reviews, and she adds one more, and it's like,
big up.
Big up.